Fear not the pain. Let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy are the seas.
Our Easter Gospel is from the 24th chapter of Luke. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Maybe the best course I ever took in seminary was a course on preaching taught by the late Jim McClendon. And what happened was that Jim offered to me and to a guy named Martin Hopper the opportunity to meet with him once a week as a tutorial, and we would be given a text by him. And he wanted to make clear that we needed to preach from the text. We'd then come back and we would, you know, share our sermon and reflect on them together. But one of the things he said that I'll never forget is he said, "Make sure you know what your proposition is." That is, make sure you know what it is you're trying to say, because as I well know from over 30 years of preaching, it's very easy to realize that after a sermon, you know, I don't know what I was trying to say to these folks. You know, you wander around and you think, you know, what was the message of that sermon? So know what you're trying to say. So before I say anything, here is the proposition of this Easter morning sermon. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. The proposition is that amazing grace gives birth to amazing justice. This is what we find out today in our readings. So let me tell you why this is the proposition. Well, of course, on Easter morning, no matter what gospel you read, the extraordinary message of Easter is the story is not over. That in spite of the fact that we have abandoned Jesus, betrayed him, not understood him, left him out to dry, in spite of 3 years of him trying to get us on board, that when, in Luke's case, these women come to the tomb. It's not told the same way in all the different Gospels. That what we are told today is that a whole group of women come to the tomb to do the obligatory burial customs. And then what happens? They find out that the tomb is empty. But they are terrified. And these two men from inside the tomb in dazzling clothes say to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why indeed? What this message is trying to say is the story is not over. It goes on. This is God's amazing grace in every Easter account, that in spite of the fact that we've done the worst we could do, the story is not over. And so what happens is these women go and tell the men, the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Wouldn't be the last time that women didn't believe what men had to tell them. So Peter then goes to the tomb. He looks in. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. And that's where the Easter gospel ends, at least today. In Luke, it will play out on the road to Emmaus. The amazing grace is that God is relentless, that God does not give up on us, and that when these women go to the tomb, the story is not over. Why do you seek the living among the dead? But this is where the lectionary this year was brilliant. The lectionary this year gives us Isaiah 65. Because if we stopped right now, it would just be amazing grace that the story is not over, but like, what does that all mean? Well, amazing grace gives birth to amazing justice. And what we hear from Isaiah, this is what we often call third Isaiah. There's Isaiah of Jerusalem, there's second Isaiah of the exile, and then there's another Isaiah. And we hear these extraordinary words, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy." We have this vision of what God is going to do. "I will rejoice in Jerusalem," or Cincinnati, "and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress." What Isaiah offers is this vision of what God is going to do with the world, what it will be in the end. And guess what? In this world that God is going to bring into being, "No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days." Or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. In this new Jerusalem, in this new Cincinnati, there will not be kids who don't have everything they need to thrive. They're not going to be living in dilapidated homes, buildings, apartments. They're not going to go to schools that no one in their right mind should go to. That what's going to happen is that this world is going to be different. Resources are going to be allocated differently. And it's not just going to be kids at an early age. It's going to be an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth. The vulnerable people, that's what kids are, they're vulnerable. And the old people, they're vulnerable. What God is going to do is going to make this world in Jerusalem and in Cincinnati the kind of world God wants. And here is the amazing thing. God is going to use us. You know, why do you seek the living among the dead? They're going to go from the tomb and they're going to be encountered by the risen Christ. And guess what's going to happen? They are going to be empowered to go out and do the work that needs to be done. And this is what this passage is saying to us this Easter Sunday. That the God of second chances, the God of grace, of amazing grace, that keeps coming at us, doesn't just leave us be. This God empowers us with new energy to help make this world what God wants it to be. And therefore, like the first disciples, eventually we can go forth from the empty tomb fearless. You see, God cannot do it without us. God needs our help. So we're going to go into Cincinnati. And we're not going to put up with schools that aren't good for our kids, with housing that is not good for our kids, with the allocation of resources being such that those in certain neighborhoods don't get what they need, whereas the rich get everything they need. And we're not going to put up with elderly folks being warehoused and forgotten. You know, boy, when you get old, it is so easy to be forgotten. It's so easy to be in living situations that when I go to visit people, I think, my God, this is not right. You see, Isaiah's vision is that with our help, God cannot do this alone, with our help, this new heaven and new earth can come into being. What Isaiah gives us is the vision, because you can't do what you can't see. If you can't imagine this, it will never happen. And it's just an extraordinary vision. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. Everyone will have adequate housing, affordable housing. They will have jobs that pay a living wage. This is all about what life can be here and now. If you and I leave the empty tomb today, leave this cold courtyard today, and are on fire for what God's trying to do, they shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord. You see, amazing grace gives birth to amazing justice, to an amazing commitment on our part to help God. And of course, we're not going to have to do this alone, because we are going to be accompanied and inspired by the risen Christ. The rest of Luke's gospel, the rest of the other gospel stories are about their encounters with this risen presence. And here's what we know. We know that the early church went out and did this. I've been saying this to you every time I preach. That the first 300 years of the church was just an extraordinary thing. Well, first 250 years. An extraordinary thing. They went out and they changed their world, and you and I can do this. We do not have to sit back and put up with what is going on now. We do not have to put up with the kind of cruelty we're seeing in our society. We don't have to put up with people being deported off to prisons in other countries. We don't have to put up with people being diminished and called unthinkable things and treated so badly. We don't have to put up with our government being dismantled. You and I have the power of the risen Christ. and we have each other. And because we have been loved, we've got a love that is stronger than anything. And guess what? The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not destroy or hurt on all my holy mountain. Imagine that. Imagine that you and I can be part of helping God make a world where there is no more war. There are not little dictators all over this world who just march in and take over countries and kill people and bomb the heck out of them. And we can go to our own leaders and say, listen, could we be more imaginative than thinking that every problem has to be solved by bombing somebody? You know, Jesus calls us to love our enemies. Maybe with the power of the risen Christ and are working together and are enlisting all people of goodwill. This just can't just be St. Timothy's Episcopal Church or just the Diocese of Southern Ohio. It has to be a movement. You know, maybe in this country we're finally fed up and finally have realized, as I have mentioned throughout this Lent, that this problem that we're in now, this dysfunctional society, this cruel society, did not just happen yesterday. But we've seen the fruits of it now. And maybe this amazing grace of Easter, the amazing grace of the empty tomb. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Go, Christ is out there going to take you to places you never dreamed, and you will have what you need to do the work. Friends, I'm fired up and ready to go. I hope you are. You are such beautiful people, such loving people. You care about people. This is what the world needs. And what we need to know is that no matter what comes our way, we have what we need. We have the risen Lord walking with us, empowering us. We don't need to be afraid. Isaiah's vision awaits. The kingdom of God vision awaits. Let us begin the work this Easter season. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter.
An Echo from the Well is a podcast of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to learn more, visit sttimothys.com.
Memory. that we can live.